Now, secondly, where is the spiritual community to be found? Well, that's quite simple. We may say that the spiritual community is found wherever there are spiritually committed individuals. In other words, individuals who have gone for refuge. And especially it's found where such individuals are in personal contact, where they meet regularly. And of course, its contact is not simply social, but spiritual. One might even say existential. Members of the spiritual community may or may not all live under one roof. Where they do all live under one roof, then they're known as a residential spiritual community. And residential spiritual communities can be of various kinds. They can be, for instance, monastic or semi-monastic in character. I don't particularly myself like the word monastic. It's not really a Buddhistic expression, but we don't seem to have a better one. The community, the monastic or semi-monastic, residential spiritual community, can be a community of men or a community of women. In either case, they live together under comparatively ideal conditions, generally in a quiet, secluded place, and they devote themselves mainly to study and to meditation. Now, in some parts of the Buddhist world, the spiritual community has come to be identified exclusively with the monastic community, even with the monastic community in a rather formalistic sense. But this, we may say, is a great mistake. The spiritual community consists of all who have gone for refuge. Now, at the beginning of this lecture, I said that the purpose of my coming to New Zealand was to establish an offshoot of the Western Buddhist order, to give Upasaka and Upasika ordinations. And this, in the course of the last 3 months, has in fact been done. So that the spiritual community, in the strict sense, is now found in New Zealand too. And what this means, we shall see before we close.